Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on a Tuesday right here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. You need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life. Rocket can. Coming up 20 minutes from now, we tap into the brain trust of the Philadelphia Sports Talk Radio landscape. Joe DeCamera from Sports Radio 94, WIP, as Merrill Reese would say. The Eagles play-by-play man is going to be joining us. That will be Joe DeCamera's, a talk show host. But I always do enjoy when I listen to Eagles games on the radio and I hear Mallory's, "Touchdown, Eagles! We'll take a break on 94 WIP!" Or this year, probably more sounds like, "Another interception by Carson Wentz! We'll take a break on 94 WIP!" Anywho, though, Joe DeCamera will join us. He'll give us the feel in Philadelphia. I pretty much know what the feel's like in Philadelphia, though. And this is coming from someone in New York. Philadelphia ain't happy today. And there's one thing to lose this division. I think there were some people who were cognizant and realistic of what this team was before the season. And there was other fans that each and every year they're going to say, "Super Bowl, go to Super Bowl," as fans will say each and every year. That's why fans are fans. Objectively, I did not believe the Eagles were a playoff team before the season did commence. I didn't think they were going to be horrible. This year, they still may not be a playoff team. And they look like they are a horrible football team right now. And there's issues with the quarterback. There's issues with the coach. And there's issues with the guy that's deciding who's on the field and the players that he gives to the coach to put on the field. And that's Howie Roseman. And full disclosure, I think Howie Roseman's the biggest problem with the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz is going to get another opportunity. He will. Look where the money is. It's $59 million, almost $60 million in dead cap next year. Doug Peterson, even though he made some boneheaded decisions last night, has made a lot of boneheaded decisions this year. The guy's 7-9, won a Super Bowl, then year number two, year number three, divisional round playoff loss, and then last year lost in the wild card round. I don't move on from a coach like that until he misses the playoffs 2 years in a row. So even if Doug makes the playoffs this year, and I don't think the Eagles will make the playoffs, I need to see this team go win the division next year. At a bare minimum, be like 9-7 or 10-6 and make the playoffs next year. And probably more in the 10-6 make the playoff camp. So next year, Doug's, you know, tushy to me, is really on the hot seat. Now, he could get fired this year. Maybe there was going to be a mutual parting of ways. I just don't anticipate it right now. If there's one man that you could make the case on how it's fair for him to lose his job this offseason, it's Howie Roseman. At least Carson Wentz gave you last season, where he elevated the team with nothing around him. Doug Peterson coached the team to a Super Bowl victory. And I'm not telling you he's a great coach anymore, but he coached the team to a Super Bowl victory without a starting quarterback. The next year, without a starting quarterback, divisional round. Last year, with really nothing to work with other than that quarterback and Carson Wentz, they got to the playoffs. And then he lost Carson Wentz to the playoff game because of concussion. So this is the first bad year for Doug Peterson. So I give him another opportunity. For Howie, though, ever since the Super Bowl, what's his defining moment? What's his good move? Not bring him, you know, he brought back DeSean Jackson. Didn't draft DK Metcalf. Took J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Huh? Then, last year, could have drafted Justin Jefferson. Goes Jalen Reagor. What has Howie Roseman done to improve this football team? Who is the big free agent that he's brought in? Yeah, he does a nice job managing the cap. All right, he traded for Darius Slay, even though Darius Slay got abused last night by DK Metcalf. Most corners get abused by DK Metcalf. But what has Howie done in a very positive way for this football team since the Super Bowl? For Carson, I give you last year. For Doug, This is first bad year since the Super Bowl victory. For Howie, what has he done? He hasn't taken any steps forward. Now, everyone's taking a step back this year. Doug and Carson, even though they're struggling immensely right now, they're still, to me, a few steps in front of Howie Roseman since the Eagles did win that Super Bowl. And last night, DK Metcalf was awesome. DK Metcalf has been awesome the entire season. Guy's already over 1,000 yards. Him and Lockett are just a tremendous dynamic duo. And you look at what he did last night, 10 receptions for a buck 77. They couldn't stop him. And there was some weird altercation, I guess, before the game where Jim Schwartz, who coached Megatron, went up to him and said something along the lines of like, hey, you're a great player. Like, you're not Calvin Johnson yet. And he basically went Michael Jordan. Where, you know, as we saw in The Last Dance, like, that wasn't a slight. Jim Schwartz was probably saying something positive. You're not Megatron yet. Megatron's one of the greatest receivers of all time. You're in your second year. But, Shep, that was kind of similar to the whole George Carl situation where Carl's sitting down, eating dinner, doesn't go up to Michael, and you make something out of nothing because that's what great athletes do. They don't get complacent. They find a way to find little petty things that aren't a big deal, but they use that to fuel the fire to then say, all right, that's the extra motivation that I need. Because that whole Metcalf situation last night, after the game, I'm not saying Metcalf is Michael Jordan in a comparison of anyway. The guy's a damn good wide receiver, has had an awesome first 2 years, should have definitely been a first-round draft pick. I never got why he fell to the end of the second round, but that was one of those petty fights that I absolutely love, Shep. I love that petty motivation.
And like Jim Schwartz, I mean, who are you? I mean,
former NFL coach.
I understand that, but a bad one at that, right?
Okay.
He's horrible.
Yeah, he's remembered for that handshake with Harbaugh.
I remember that.
Where they had that feisty handshake.
You know, this is taunting a little bit. I don't like any coach going up to an opposing player and talking junk. That's not.
But is that talking
there's
junk?
There's no relationship there. That's not cool. You know, Metcalf is how old? 20-something? 20?
Yeah, 23, 24.
That's a kid. I don't care if he's a professional athlete. That's a kid. That's a 23-year-old. You don't need no grown man in his 50s or 60s.
22, DK Metcalf.
22. Jim Schwartz, I mean, without even looking.
Well, he's born 1997. Yeah. Even that makes me feel old, and I'm not old.
And that's saying something.
Yeah.
I don't understand. You know, you're trying to clean up the game. You're dealing with all these matters of you know, getting into a societal level where we have some decorum, and that's what this country wants right now.
Wait.
And you got a 50-year-old something coach talking smack and junk.
But he's not talking smack.
Sure he is.
No, he's just saying.
Yes, he is. Yes,
he's
he is.
Saying you're a great receiver. You're on
just
your way.
Just leave it at that.
I coached Calvin Johnson. You're not Calvin Johnson yet, but you're on your way. If I'm DK Metcalf, and not to
he didn't
put
say
the guy
he's on
down,
his way.
He's been
he
awesome.
Didn't say he's on his way.
Oh, he said something similar. I complimented him. Do we have the clip? From DK Metcalf?
Yeah, let me...
Yeah, find it, and then we'll play. I don't think that's a big deal whatsoever. I wouldn't be... Yeah, it's a little odd. Like, why do you have to say that? But, you know, Jim Schwartz, he did coach Calvin Johnson with the Detroit Lions, so I don't think that's a big deal. It's one of those things where if you're Jim Schwartz, I don't think there was any harm in the way that he said it, but... Apparently, DK Metcalf used that as motivation. So, Greg Bell, who covers the Seahawks, said, DK Metcalf said Eagles defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz came up to him pregame and said he coached Megatron and that Metcalf is good, but not to the Calvin Johnson level yet. That made me mad. All right, here's the clip. Here's DK Metcalf from himself.
One of the defensive coaches came up to me and it kind of made me mad that he was like, you know, I was in Detroit with Megatron, but you're not there yet. You know, in my mind, I'm not trying to be Megatron. I'm trying to be me. So, you know, had a little chip on my shoulder the whole game.
All right, here's what I'll say to that. I wonder what was actually said. Hey, here's what I wonder. It's all about the tone. Was it more so this? Shep, pretend you're DK Metcalf. DK, great to meet you. You're a heck of a player. Hey, I coached Calvin Johnson in Detroit. Obviously, there's always work to do to get to the level of Megatron, but man, you're looking really good and you're on your way. Would you get mad by that if that's what I said? And then I'll give you the other way that it may have played out.
Gelb.
I'm just asking, would you be mad by that? Yes or no?
The answer is yes.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Fine.
I'll tell you why.
I'll let you tell me why in just a second.
Okay.
But then if Jim Schwartz goes up to him and go, oh, DK Metcalf, you know, you're pretty good. We've been preparing for you, but you're no Calvin Johnson. You know, I coach Calvin. You know, you got some way to go. That would be different. I don't think there was malicious intent from Jim Schwartz. Now, you could argue, why even bring up Calvin Johnson? Just say, hey, man, really respect you as a player. Smack him on the butt. You know, hopefully you don't beat us up too badly tonight.
As far as Metcalf knows, he is a vendor. He is a security guard. He said some defensive coach. Now, you and I know.
Well, yeah, he doesn't know who Jim Schwartz is, clearly.
He doesn't know who Jim Schwartz is from a hole in the wall.
Yeah, right? That's a good point.
And so with that being said, who is this clown? Like, DJ Metcalf is an elite
DK
NFL
Metcalf.
Player. What is it?
DK Metcalf. You called him DJ.
I'm sorry.
You had your Booger McFarlane moment where you called him Decaf Metcalf last year.
No, I'm actually excited that Dustin Johnson is starting to find, you know, he's finally playing in the supermodel. By the way, what a tweet.
What tweet?
Your tweet. On the green outfit.
Oh.
What a tweet.
With my Baba Booey shirt?
Yes.
With the Masters?
Yes. People connect with that. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I don't mean to.
I don't even remember what I tweeted now.
Right.
I did tweet something like, I'm not sleeping with Paulina Gretzky or something.
Yes. Let me see.
If I do, I'm not engaged to Paulina Gretzky is what I wrote.
Right.
I don't have a green jacket, but I do have this awesome Baba Booey shirt and a CBS Sports Radio show to host right now. Yeah, people did like that.
Right.
But and I look good in that photo, by the way. I look spectacular.
You get no denial of me from me yet. But Gail, the thing is, you can't antagonize a guy as an opposing coach. That is not what the NFL stands for. I don't understand how we have taunting penalties. But yet when a 50-something-year-old grown man, a grown man who sucked as a head coach, might I add.
He made the playoffs 1 year. Was not a good head coach, though.
He sucked as a head coach.
Yeah, he made the playoffs. I'm just saying.
Didn't Adam Gase make the playoff, for God's sakes?
Yeah, with the Dolphins, yeah.
I mean, that tells you all you need to know. Mm-hmm.
Now, he was 2-14, 6-10, 10-6, 4-12, 7-9.
Okay, so aside from one season, the dude never won more than six
games. Didn't he take over? I think he took over. He was the coach, I want to say, after Marinelli when the Lions went 0-16. So he wasn't taken. I'm not defending the guy, but he wasn't taken over a great team and running them into the ground.
He also is responsible for the deterioration of Matt Stafford, because Matt Stafford, remember this
Fair.
Guy, but 23 years old, he was throwing 5,000-plus yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've only seen Pat Mahomes repeat that, right? But if you're going to fine and you're not going to condone and you're going to punish and you're going to serve it and say it and deem it as reprehensible, you can't then allow a coach in his 50s to go over to an opposing player that has no relationship with him
but I'm just asking, talk smack.
It's inappropriate.
What do you mean by what was reprehensible? You think, I'm just saying, here's what I'm saying.
Right.
You think Jim Schwartz went up to him and used that in a demeaning way or used that to insult him?
100. You know what? You
that
said
you're not Calvin Johnson? Like, if I walked up to you and I said, you know, if I go up to DK Metcalf and said, hey, you're a great player, but, you know, my coach, Larry Fitzgerald, I think he said.
Sure.
Personally, this is what I think he said. This is just the way that it makes sense to me. Hey, DK Metcalf, you're unbelievable. We've been preparing for you all week. I coached, because this is where he was in the wrong. He brought himself into it. Like, oh, I coach Calvin Johnson.
But he doesn't know who he is.
You're a defensive coach. What did you do for Calvin Johnson's career? But this is how that's where you could get on him for. But this is what I really think happened. They met before the game. You know how everyone's amped up before the games. Emotions are running high.
Yep, he doesn't know who he is.
Hold
he doesn't
on,
know
who,
how
would
they meet before a game.
Hold on. Zip your lip for a second. And he probably just said, you're a tremendous player. I coach Calvin Johnson in Detroit. You know, there's obviously a level to get there for a long time, you know, but you're on your way. That's what I think he said. I don't think he went up to him and said, hey, DK Metcalf, you know, you're all right, but you're no Calvin Johnson. Now, DK Metcalf obviously took it a different way. Maybe Jim Schwartz is a knucklehead and said something stupid.
You have a lot of connections in the NFL?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, Schwartz is an NFL lifer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, have you ever heard one good word uttered about the man?
Have I ever heard? I don't really... I'm not doing a lot of intel on Jim Schwartz, to be fair.
He's a 5-year head coach. Someone's got to have one opinion about him.
Okay. I'll reach out to some people that played for him in Philadelphia.
I haven't heard good things. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. You got some sources here? I thought you were only NBA, Shep.
Well, I mean...
You got NFL sources?
I can't name them on
obviously,
the
air. It's a source.
Well, there's people that have added sources, but I believe these people are very prestigious in the world of journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't heard good things.
Okay. That's fine. I'm not telling you Jim Schwartz is the greatest person in the world and the greatest football coach in the world. I just have a tough time... And maybe it's because we're all sensitive now. You can't tweet anything now without someone telling you, you're an idiot, you're a moron, you're a dope. I really just think he went up to him and said, hey, you're a great player. Obviously, there's a long way to go to becoming Calvin Johnson. But, you know, I think you're on your way. That's what I think he really did say. That's just me, though. Where you could get on Schwartz, like I'll repeat myself for the 9,000th time in this segment. Okay. Where I will repeat myself is saying, you don't even have to bring it up. Like, you could get on him for that, but I don't think it was meant in, like, this terrible way. Anyway, though, because we got to get to Joe DeCamera. Let me just give you the receivers that went before DK Metcalf in the draft. Marquise Hollywood Brown, 25 to Baltimore. Yeah, Lamar Jackson rather have DK Metcalf. My Patriots, they took stinking N'Keal Harry. Yeah, they'd rather have DK Metcalf. Now, Deebo Samuel has not been a bad player in this league. He's been a good player. Needs to stay on the field, but I can't really get on them for that. Tennessee, A.J. Brown, tremendous. How about this one? We already look at the Kansas City Chiefs. How about those Chiefs as a juggernaut? And at the time, they drafted Mecole Hardman because there was uncertainties about the future of Tyreek Hill with his off-the-field issues. And they were thinking that this could be the replacement for Tyreek Hill. Imagine if they said, all right, we're going to draft the better player in DK Metcalf. Tyreek, obviously... never got suspended for his off-the-field issues. Right now, they would have been lining up with DK Metcalf, DJ Metcalf, Decaf Metcalf, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill, with Mahomes throwing the football. Philadelphia, J.J. Arcega, one side. How do you take J.J. Arcega, white side, over DK Metcalf? Indianapolis, Paris Campbell, Arizona, Andy Isabella. Now, I don't know if they still trade for DeAndre Hopkins if they have DK Metcalf, but could you imagine Larry Fitz, Christian Kirk, DeAndre Hopkins, and DK Metcalf? And then the Seahawks took DK Metcalf at 64 overall. The one that I really circle. Like, obviously, the Patriots, dumb decision. Baltimore, bad decision. But Kansas City. You couldn't stop DK Metcalf, Travis Kelce, Mahomes, and Tyreek Hill. We'll break. When we come on back, Joe DeCamera joins us. We'll get his thoughts on Jim Schwartz. We'll also get his thoughts on all the horrible football that's going on with the EAGLES Eagles.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You're not getting a Yo Adrian moment from the Eagles this year. My great uncle, Uncle Ben, actually, he just turned 90. One of the first things, other than Brady Papinga trolling me last night about Carson Wentz when I woke up this morning, the next thing I saw was a Facebook note from my 90-year-old great uncle, Uncle Ben, and he is not happy. He wants Doug out. He wants Howie out. And he also wants Carson Wentz out with the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's tap into Philadelphia right now. We'll talk to one of the best sports talk radio hosts in Philadelphia, hosts middays on the legendary sports radio 94 WIP. That, of course, is my pal Joe DeCamera. Joe, what's happening, man?
Zach, a lot is happening, and it's great to be on your program. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate it. Before we really tap into the Eagles and the mess and talk about Carson, talk about Doug and also Howie Roseman and the future of this team, well, what you make of this entire Jim Schwartz situation? Because before we brought you on, we were talking about in the last segment, I don't think there was malicious intent by Schwartz, but obviously DK Metcalf thought differently.
Well, for sure. I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question. I mean, Jim Schwartz would not intentionally, I don't think, do something that he thought going into it would give the player a competitive edge by, you know, raising that player's competitive spirit. So, yeah, I'm sure Jim Schwartz probably meant it as playful banter before a game. I mean, look, obviously I wasn't there. You weren't there. We're going based on what DK Metcalf said post-game. But It sounds like, you know, pregame probably intended playful banter by an Eagles assistant coach to an opposing player, but it's like, yo, coach, you got to have your head in the game here. I mean, the reality is, if you go say that to a player, number one, who's great, number two, who the Eagles passed on in the draft, you know, in 2019, you know, you go say that to him shortly before kickoff, stupid. It's just dumb, and it was unnecessary, and I would imagine something like that would not happen again.
Hey, I'm just trying to figure out what exactly he said, and obviously, like you said, I wasn't there, and only DK Metcalf and Jim Schwartz were there and know what happened. It kind of feels to me like something was lost in translation, where Schwartz was probably like, hey, you're a heck of a player. You know, you kind of remind me of Calvin Johnson, but obviously there's a long way to go before you get to be Megatron. That's probably what he said, right?
Look, that would be my guess. Again, I'll just use the term playful banter as my guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but I mean, you know the deal. Athletes are going to use things for fire, competitive fire, as they should. I mean, you look for every advantage you could possibly get. And if that burned DK Metcalf and he was able to use it, then good for him, and he burned the Eagles.
Joe DeCamera here with us from Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Biggest problem with the Eagles between Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, and Carson Wentz. Who's the biggest problem?
Well, it's incredibly debated in Philly, Zach. Personally, I believe it's Carson Wentz. Now, I will say that's not to let either of the other two off the hook. Howie in particular, who has absolutely fielded a subpar roster. And if you really, you know, track the last 3 years of drafting and free agent acquisitions, there's been a really steady and lately steep decline of the talent on the roster. So Howie is extremely culpable. However, in my opinion, Carson is absolutely the most culpable. He is right now playing like one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. And while he may not actually be, you know, what is he? Okay, he may not actually be a bottom five quarterback if you were to extrapolate over the next 4 or 5 years. I believe, and I think many in Philadelphia are starting to come around to what I've been saying for what I've been saying this whole year, is he is a below average quarterback. He is. And, I mean, for your audience that perhaps hasn't seen it, you know, national audience quite as in depth, here's the bottom line. He is inaccurate. He has poor pocket presence. He holds onto the ball too long, causes sacks. He has a tremendous amount of fumbles, leads the league in fumbles since he was drafted in 2016. He throws interceptions and far too often does not hit a receiver who is open or hit a receiver in stride who is available to catch the ball. I mean, the combination of things is staggering. He is significantly below average, and he is clearly playing as one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL this year, no question about it.
Last year, towards the end of the season, he carried the team. This year, he's been a disaster. The dead cap for next year, it's almost $60 million, so he's not going anywhere. But if you were Doug, how would you approach the rest of the season with Carson, with Jalen Hurts on the sideline and sometimes seeing some game action?
So here's the complication. I'll answer the question if I'm Doug, if I have power. If I have the power, I'm playing Jalen Hurts. And I'm playing Jalen Hurts because, one, Carson's terrible right now. Two, I might be coaching for my life, and I'd rather go to the unknown than the known, Carson being the known that you just know you're going to lose games. And three, if I am around next year, if I'm Doug, I want to have a sense what Jalen Hurts has. Because remember, if the Eagles miss the playoffs, and there's a good chance now they will, there's a good chance they're going to pick in the top 5 or 6 of the draft, which means there's a good chance they have an opportunity to take a quarterback. To your point, even if Carson's on the team, that might be the way to go, and Carson might be the most expensive backup in the history of sports. Now, a lot of people in Philadelphia think I'm crazy for thinking that, but my point is, why keep playing a guy that you know you're going to lose with? You're just going to keep losing with Carson Wentz. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of everybody's time. So,
well, I guess, Joe, the one thing, I think the answer to that, and you may not like these answers, in 2017, I know we're going back a long time, he put MVP football, but last year, down the stretch, he did elevate the team with nothing around him, so maybe you think he gets back to that form the next season, and it's just a down year.
The million-dollar question is, how did this happen with Carson? I mean, primarily, how did he go from 2017 to now? And to a certain extent, how did he go from last year in December when he was really good to now? Couple things. First off, 2019 stretch run, and you're right, he was phenomenal in December. It was only 3.5 games. I mean, he was a disaster in the
Yeah, it was bad until the final month last year.
It was 3.5 games, and they played horrendous teams. Horrendous teams. And, yeah, he was below average for the first 3 months last year. So many people in Philadelphia were hanging, Zach, there had in the offseason of this idea that Carson had turned a corner and he was back and he's going to be great. And I kept telling everybody, why are you all focusing on 3.5 games when he was fantastic in December and ignoring the 12.5 games that led up to that? And again, I'm differentiating halftime of the 13th game versus the Giants when he struggled in the first half and was great in the second half. Like, why aren't you focusing on the 12.5 games? So, you know, and then let me just peel this back. What has happened? First off, nobody really knows exactly why. But the theories are this. One, he's a far lesser athlete because of the injuries. Two, his mechanics have gotten out of whack. Three, there's been coaching staff changes with the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach, Frank Reich and John DeFilippo, who moved on after the Super Bowl. Four, there's a shadow of Nick Foles. Five, there's a shadow of Jalen Hurts. I mean, I can give you 15 different reasons, right? The reality is, whatever the reasons are and how they all add off, the bottom line is he's just not that good. Is it possible he plays better? For sure. I expect him, Zach. I expect Carson Wentz to play better because it would almost be impossible to play worse. To me, the key if you're the Eagles is how reasonable is it to expect him to play much better?
And can't
honestly,
bank on it.
I don't think it is reasonable.
Joe DeCamber here with us. Should Doug Peterson be back next year if they miss the playoffs, and will he be back?
Well, this, again, gets into how much power does Doug have. I'll just say my answer to your last question was predicated on if Doug has power. I personally don't think he does. I think playing Carson is a call from higher up, probably the owner, possibly the general manager. So it's complicated without knowing exactly what his power has been. I would say this, Zach. My mindset right now is to move on from the general manager, Howie Roseman. I'm not yet ready to tell you to move on from the head coach, but I'm really close. So I think there is a legitimate chance he'll be gone. I think it's more likely that Doug Peterson will be gone than Carson Wentz or Howie Roseman. But I don't know that that is fair. I think he's the least culpable of the three, but I think he's probably the most likely to go.
He looks dejected, and you would assume he would be dejected in these post-game press conferences. You know, I hear him on with Angelo a few weeks ago. He snapped as well. Do you think he even wants to come back? Would it surprise you if there's a mutual parting of ways, if that's how they phrase it at the end of the season?
It would surprise me a bit because I don't think that's who Doug is, but there was a reporter a day or two ago here in Philly that alluded in an article to the fact that he's heard whispers that Doug wouldn't mind moving on.
Interesting.
So, you know, it's possible. I mean, look, I am not certain the answer to the question, but look, if he gets fired, he's going to get paid a lot of money and he can sit at home next year and sit on a couch and watch football and collect millions of dollars. With that said, is he definitely going to have a pathway back to an NFL head coaching job? Not sure. I mean, he doesn't present himself as the most impressive, I think. You know, he kind of bungles his way through talking sometimes. But at the same time, I mean, he's, you know, one of, I don't know, 30 or 35 people that's won a Super Bowl as a head coach. And he did it only 3 years ago. So obviously he can do it. But boy, he's doing a bad job right now.
Something that just crossed my mind here, Joe DeCamber from Sports Radio 94 WIP, is you keep on talking about maybe the influences that Doug doesn't have so much power with Howie and then also with maybe Jeffrey Lurie too. I read a report the other day from Jeff Mosher that Jeffrey Lurie said to Doug that if Wentz struggles, you got to play Hurts. And we didn't really see much of Hurts last night. Was there truth to that report in your thinking?
Well, I know Jeff Mosher. I think he's a great reporter.
Great dude.
And I don't think that he would have presented that without believing that he had that locked in. So the question, of course, is what the heck happened? That report came out about 3 hours before kickoff. Is it possible that the Eagles curtailed their plans because that report came out and the owner didn't want to look silly 3 hours after the report came out, that they chose to play the backup quarterback at the behest of the owner? I guess it's possible. I mean, to this, you know, think of it this way. To this point, they have shielded Carson, continuing to play Carson, scattered plays of Jalen Hurts, and frankly, last night was no different in that regard. So this may just be more of the same of trying and trying and trying and trying and trying to give Carson Wentz a 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 15th, 25th, 35th chance. That's my guess, that they just keep trying and trying and trying. But at some point, you got to raise the white flag and say, hey, listen, it's not working with this guy. Now, look, I'll tell you this, Zach. There is various reasons to continue to play Carson. Number one, you might not think Jalen Hurts is ready. It's possible. Number two, you might think there's a facade, that, you know, a ruse that you can present to the NFL by basically telling the other 31 executives, hey, this is a guy who's still good. You should want him in a trade, you know, as opposed to the bench guy who, you know, then loses some luster and trade value for the organization. So there's a lot of different ways this can go. Of course, the Eagles also have to face the reality of, do they, and I'm talking the top top ticket, top of the organization, do they want to make the playoffs? I mean, we all know the deal. Normally the answer to that question is yes. You want to make the playoffs. You want
I would say no.
To win a home playoff game. But, I mean, when the downside of not making it is you get a top seven, top six pick in the draft, it's pretty appealing.
Making the playoffs, Joe, does nothing for them this year. All it does, it gives them a cop-out and make them think that they're actually better than what they are.
Well, and that's – and you know, and I'll give you, you know.
Like, what has Howie done well? See, my answer to the question I asked you earlier, and I'm not making excuses for Carson, I'm not making excuses for Doug. I think the biggest problem is Howie. Like, at least there was a good moment for Doug after the Super Bowl. There's been a good moment for Carson, even though not many. Like, I'm trying to think of what the good moment has been for Howie, and I got hubba-da-hubba-da-hubba-da nothing.
Yep. Well, no, you're in the last 3 years, you're right. I mean, since the Eagles won that Super Bowl and walked off the field, you're right. I mean, he drafted Miles Sanders in the second round. That was pretty good. He drafted Dallas Goedert a couple years ago in the second round. That was pretty good. Other than that, it's few and far between.
Passed up on Metcalf and Jefferson, as you know, back-to-back years.
Well, exactly. And you could have an unbelievable combination of phenomenally good and cheap first-year contract players in Metcalf and Jefferson, and they missed on both.
All right, last thing for you, Joe DeCamera, before we let you run. I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember a few years ago when your boss, Spike Eskin, and also your producer, James Seltzer, approached you with the photo of you sitting at a bar with a nice-looking female? Do you remember that?
Not at all, actually.
I remember they were talking about it, and you got really worked up. Like, how'd you get this photo of me? I was actually the one that took the photo. I was at a bar in Philadelphia.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, you're talking about the bar, Walnut Street or something like that.
So
whatever street that is.
I was out in Philadelphia, and one of my friends,
a
big fan of WIP, goes, "Is that Joe DeCamera?" At the time, like, I vaguely knew you. And I go, "I'm not sure if that's Joe DeCamera." Kind of looks at him. So I took a photo, like, creepily in the background, took a photo, did one of the hiding of the photo of the phones, and I texted to Spike and Jimmy, and I go, "Is this DeCamera?" They're like, "Oh my goodness gracious, you just gave us a lot of content for Monday." So I guess I have to apologize for taking that photo, but I didn't know if it was you.
Well, I don't know if I should accept the apology. I mean, frankly, it's a little bizarre, but I'll tell you what, you're a good guy, Zach. I'm happy for your success. And if you're apologizing, apology accepted. I do remember it. I never saw the picture, which is part of what triggered, like, I didn't remember the photo initially. But, yeah, I do remember.
It's just you sitting at a bar. You were whispering into a girl's ear or something like that.
Maybe she was whispering in my ear, Zach. You never know.
That could have been the case. All right, Joe DeCamera, we appreciate it. This was fun.
Thanks, pal.
There's Joe DeCamera. Appreciate the kind words that he said. Yeah, I'll never forget that. I was in a bar in Philadelphia. One of my friends goes, "Is that Joe DeCamera?" And I go, "I'm not sure." It's like just when Joe got the job. So I took a photo and sent it to his boss and his producer. I go, "Is this Joe?" And they go, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. We won't reveal your identity." But I felt like such a creep there, Shep, taking the photo. But I wanted to know if it was Joe DeCamera or not. Good stuff. So you get a little intel into the Eagles. I think it was very clear in that conversation. Joe DeCamera is not, and I mean is not, a fan of Carson Wentz, but he's not really a fan of Howie Roseman, and if he had to pick one, he would say, "All right, I'm kind of a fan of Doug," but it seems like he would clean house.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
I told you the Dallas Cowboys were all about drama. Drama, 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 drama. And I told you that they would fire Jason Garrett on Wild Card Weekend because they wanted to steal the spotlight. Jerry Jones, that's a mad scientist. Because what he calculated in this game to get that attention was pure brilliance.
Here's Zach Gelb.
That's how good old Jerry made the playoffs last year when he missed the playoffs. Eagles playoff game. Yep, we're not bringing back Jason Garrett. I don't qualify for the playoffs. I'll steal all the headlines. They don't make the playoffs this year. We'll see how they try to steal the attention away from the National Football League. I actually got in a good little Twitter battle last night, Shep, with the Cowboys fan, who Drew Pearson was on this show last night. He said the Cowboys need to stop setting the expectations as winning Super Bowls, winning championships, because they got to make the playoffs first.
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah! That was the first awkward Shep drop of the night. But it kind of worked there a little bit. But each and every year, I get this feeling of Jerry Jones as he doesn't measure success by wins and losses. It's how much drama can you stir up? I'm going to play you some audio later in the show. He was talking about Ben DiNucci today. I'm still trying to figure out what he was saying. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, though, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. We'll see who wins the NFC least to kind of get the feel. It's either going to be the Giants or Washington's football team now, which I never thought I would say that before the year, because the entire summer, the NFC least should be won by the Cowboys. The only other team that has a shot is the Eagles. Giants, no shot. Washington's football team, no shot. And now we're in a world where the Giants and Washington's football team are in front of the Eagles and the Cowboys. Who's the biggest problem for the Eagles is our poll question tonight. 40.4% say Carson Wentz. 34.4% say Doug Peterson. 25.2% say Howie. For me, the answer is Howie Roseman. Let's go to Casey in Oregon next up, CBS Sports Radio. Case, what's shaking?
Hey, so I, too, have seen the decline of Carson Wentz. But I've got two words for you, Ryan Tannehill. This guy was an absolute dud in Miami. I'm a Dolphins fan.
Injuries, too.
For years. Injuries, too. He just, it didn't work for him. But as soon as you gave him an offensive line and a running back, he looks like an all-star. That's, I mean, you put any of these quarterbacks in a great system, they're going to succeed there.
It's a great point that you bring up. And, yeah, there's been a lot of times where Carson Wentz has looked god-awful this year, but we also have to point out the fact that he's the most sacked quarterback in the league. He's been hit 111 times this year. His receivers are leading the league in drops, and that has been a regular occurrence. And, yeah, has there been times where he has a clean pocket and has made some awful throws? Sure. Are there mental things he needs to fix? Yes. Are there physical mistakes that he needs to fix? Absolutely. But that's why I answer the question, Howie Roseman's the biggest problem, because he's put a trash offensive line in front of him. I know there's been abundance of injuries, but still, they're still relying on Jason Peters, and it's time to move on from him. The wide receivers, they have drafted terribly there, passing up on DK Metcalf and Justin Jefferson and walking away with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. And then also Jalen Reagor. So I'm not giving Carson a pass. He's been bad this year, really bad. But the reality of the situation is he's going to be the starting quarterback come game one next year. The question is, who is calling the shots? And if Howie's back, is Howie going to actually get him a wide receiver and patch up the offensive line? And that, quite frankly, I can't feel confident about. And that's going to be a big storyline this offseason. Not just necessarily Carson, because I don't think the Eagles are going to move on from him, because the dead cap is nearly $60 million next year. But a guy like Sam Darnold, for example. Sam Darnold has had a lot of bad moments early on in his career. Do I think Sam Darnold is a bad quarterback? No, I don't. I think Sam Darnold needs to be put in a better situation. And Sam Darnold right now, if the Colts take him in with the good offensive line, you got Hilton, you got Michael Pittman Jr., you got a good coach that knows how to run an offense in Frank Reich, I think Sam Darnold could be a competent quarterback in this league. And you see other quarterbacks that are going to be in different homes next year. We talk about it all the time with the draft. How important is going to a team that has a good coach and is a good fit? You know, there's a lot of guys that get ruined, and some guys, they don't carry their own weight, and they fail. But then there's other guys that go to certain places, and they get ruined because of the situations that they're put in. And we've seen countless examples of that. But then you look at a guy like Jared Goff. Jared Goff has been the ultimate pinball machine. He bounces back and forth. Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. He was horrible on Sunday against the 49ers. But the guy got to a Super Bowl. And he played horribly in the Super Bowl. Now, he didn't get there because Jared Goff is some tremendous quarterback. He got there because of the coaching of Sean McVay. If you really look at some of these teams that you say, like, wow, what a football team there. Not that they're great, but like a team like Indianapolis. Indianapolis has okay pieces. And Nyheim Hines, a okay running back. Jonathan Taylor, rookie year. Michael Pittman, rookie year. T.Y. Hilton has been hurt. They have a good offensive line. Phillip Rivers, not a good quarterback anymore. And that team still has 7 wins. And yeah, they have a tremendous defense, but fit is so important. And a guy like Carson Wentz, I think he may need a new start and need a new home. And that's something I didn't even really think about. Would he have success if he goes somewhere else? For example, if you did one of those 30 for 30s, what if I told you that Carson Wentz got drafted number one overall by the Rams, and it was the Eagles who traded up at number two to take Jared Goff? What's Jared Goff? What would Jared Goff be in the Eagles system? And that's not to put down the coaches in Philadelphia. Doug Peterson, up until this year, was considered a top 10 coach in the league. Guy that beat Sean McVay every time he's played him and has won a Super Bowl, defeated Belichick in the big game. Oh, this is the 30 for 30 music. What if I told you the Philadelphia Eagles got Jared Goff instead of Carson Wentz? What would Carson Wentz look like with the Rams? Now Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, where he's getting cheesesteaks thrown at him. And if there was fans allowed in the stands, they would boo him out of the city. City of brotherly love, they're showing no love for Carson Wentz. Maybe he would have been an MVP quarterback. Maybe he would have been consistently great. If only the Rams drafted him. A 30 for 30 production. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Seriously, are we even allowed to play that music?
Just
what music?
Oh, that's a good point. Remember, that's David Shepard producing this program today. If you want to sue,
come on now.
Sue him, not me. I say, like, if Carson Wentz, and you still have to overcome the injuries, but if Wentz is right now with the Rams, with McVay, with Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, you got to think he's playing better. But then there's also something to be said where he elevated the team towards the end of last year, and now he's not been able to do that. So there's a lot of blame to go around. Carson's got to be better. Doug's got to be better. Howie's got to be better. But the first person I blame is Howie Roseman. Doug at least had some good moments since the Super Bowl. He made the playoffs twice. Carson Wentz saved last season with nothing to throw to. Howie Roseman, draft blunder after draft blunder, doesn't do well signing free agents. The only thing he does well is manage a cap. And right now, that like the Eagles aren't even in a great situation that way either. So Howie, nah, 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 hey, 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 goodbye. It's probably time to go. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.